I think it's Thursday. It is Thursday.
Today's
it's Thursday.
How do you do it? How do you do it?
Yesterday threw me off. Halloween felt like it should have been on a Friday. That's all. I have no more.
You have a calendar somewhere, don't you?
I have a phone.
Yeah, you can look. You can press a button on your phone. It'll tell you what day it is every day.
Yeah, but I like to play it by ear.
Yeah, but you're always so confused by it.
That's just how I go through life.
I know it's Sunday, but it seems like October. I know it's Wednesday, but it seems like 1966.
It's only on the stream. The stream has no boundaries.
Is that true?
And it confuses me.
Welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. As Wendy pointed out, it's probably Thursday. We hope you had a nice Halloween. And now it's November. It's the walk-up to the holiday season, so enjoy it while it lasts.
It's Does
that
about
seem
to
inspirational?
Get crazy.
It's yeah. about to get a little bit crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It happens so, like, in August, you go, well, it's still summer, and then all of a sudden, it's not only is it no longer summer anymore, but Thanksgiving is 3 weeks from today.
You know, it's our parents told us when we were younger, when school...
Don't pick at it.
Well, that was one thing they always said.
Do not pick at it.
When you go back to school, I know you were very disappointed because you loved summer.
Yes, I do. Summer is, in my opinion, not only the best season, nothing comes close.
Well, I was always a little excited to get back to school for like the first 2 weeks. Then it was like, oh God, when's Christmas? When is Thanksgiving break?
Right.
But, and your parents would always say, you know, enjoy the time because as you get older, time flies. But honestly, doesn't it fly now?
Every year goes by at such a breakneck pace that I'm shocked by it.
I know. And I Things never happens. Wanted to agree our parents were right.
Yeah, but they were kind of right about this, not about anything else.
Well, a couple of things.
I think that's the only thing they got right.
But it's like, I can't believe it's Thanksgiving is what, 2 weeks away?
No, 3 weeks.
3 weeks away?
3 weeks from today.
I better order my turkey.
What else was your mom right about? What else did she tell you that she was right
my
about?
My mom, God love her and God rest her soul, she told me terrible things.
Bad advice?
Well, we were close, but we didn't discuss many things because parents and kids other than you and your family didn't really talk about things.
We talked to my parents, but we took everything with a grain of NutraSweet. Everything. Like I told you, this is the second worst bit of advice that's ever been given to me. My dad told me once that it is just as easy to fall in love with a rich girl than it is a poor girl. Is that good advice or horrible advice?
What depends which side of the argument you're on.
I'll tell you where this came from. I can tell you the exact reason he told me this. We were attending a party for a business associate of my dad's. And there was this girl that came up and started talking to me. And I didn't know who she was. I was polite. I talked to her for a little bit. And then my dad comes over and he goes, hey, you, and I'll just say her name is Barbara, because it was. So my dad goes, looks like you and Barbara are hitting it off. And I go, oh, do you know her? And he goes, do you know who her dad is? Like that. And I didn't. And her dad, as it turns out, is some very wealthy Chicago famous person. So I go, no, I didn't know that. And he goes, wouldn't that be something if you... Now, I had just talked to
her. Right, for one hello.
I wasn't really thinking about a future with her at all. She came up, said some things to me. I said some things back. We talked for a few minutes, and I thought that was the end of it. He goes, imagine if you and Barbara got married, the house you'd live in would be here. And I go, yeah, but it... There's probably not going to happen, Dad. We just had a couple of words, and that was it. So a couple days later, I get a phone call from Barbara, and she wants to go out. And I said, I was very polite about it. I go, I got to be honest with you, Barbara. I'm kind of seeing somebody right now. I wasn't, but I thought it'd be better.
If Barbara's listening right now, you broke her heart. Don't lie.
That's why I used a name that is her name, actually. I should have used a different name. So my dad goes, now I have to quickly scramble and think of a new name for Barbara. It was Barbara. All right. So I get a call from her. So that's the end of that. So my dad said to me a day later, he goes, hey, I heard Barbara was going to call you. I go, yeah, that actually happened.
So he tried to arrange that, obviously.
He didn't arrange it. Her dad called my dad.
My God.
Yeah.
My mom was never involved in my business like your dad was involved in yours.
It was too much, wasn't
it? Yeah.
So my dad said to me, look, he gave me, my dad has this look of disappointment, which I had seen.
I've seen it.
What, you've seen it.
As he's looking
anytime
at you.
Anytime my name is mentioned, my dad goes into that mode, the disappointed look mode. So my dad goes, you know, Bill, it is just as easy to fall in love with a rich girl as it is a poor girl. And I went, that's such a horrible thing to say, because it is. Because I wasn't, there was no love involved. She was asking me to go out to dinner or something like that. But in his mind, he already put this whole scenario of, what if they got married and had kids and a family and he's set for life? He'd be so wealthy, he wouldn't know what to do with all the money.
Well, she would be wealthy.
Well, she's going to be wealthy regardless of me or not. Her dad has a crazy amount of money. But isn't that crazy?
Do you have regrets now?
No, zero. None. Not a single one, you know?
What about a middle-class girl? Isn't it easy to fall in love with a middle-class girl?
He didn't mention a middle-class girl, but I bet that if you gave him time, if you said to my dad, you're saying is interesting, but what about the middle class, sir? I pose that question to you whilst talking about love. But he just, you know, I would never say that to my daughters. Let's say one of my daughters was in this situation where there was a rich guy that was in love with her, and there was a poor guy, and they came to me for advice. I would never just go, I'll take the rich guy.
No, you'd say, which one treats you better?
That's, which one makes you happiest is exactly what I would say.
That's a good father move.
And then my dad would sneak around the corner, take the rich guy. It's just as easy. Dad, please.
Yeah, I didn't have my mom criticized every guy I ever dated. I never talked relationships with her, really.
But the guys you were dating at the time were the kind that a mom would probably not embrace.
That's why I liked them.
I know. But you could see where, now that you're a mom yourself, where they'd be a little leery of them, right?
I guess, maybe. You know? But, you know, I was young. You're not going to marry your high school boyfriend. Most people aren't.
No. That's
or girlfriend.
True. Right.
So we didn't really talk relationships too much.
No? Do you regret that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a different time. Like, and it's weird, too, because she would talk to her mother and sister a lot. Aunt, of course, was my mom's sister.
Aunt.
And then Nina, my grandma. They would talk about mainly everything. But
about their own relationships or about any that you were involved
in? No, not about me. No. I mean, it was just a different time then. It was, we didn't really talk much. I mean, now I talk to my kids way too openly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Can there be too much openness?
I don't think there can be.
I don't either.
No.
And I like some of the questions I get are goofy from my kids, but I like that we have an open relationship. But, like, my mom never had the sex talk with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if she did, I would have, like, been, oh, God, come on, I gotta go.
Yeah, that's an awkward time, isn't it?
It was, totally, when we were growing up. But, I mean, I've talked to the boys about things, and we kind of giggle our way through it. But
right.
I don't know. It doesn't seem as awkward these days as it would with me talking to my mom.
Right, right. I missed out on it because now in your family, you know, this is unique. It's usually, not always, but it's usually the dad who talks to the boys and the mom who talks to the girls. Not always, but it's just kind of been the
usually.
Way it is. So because I don't have sons, the only people I talked to about it was Ryan Burrow and Domini Pongo. I had to explain some things.
They
were shocked, by the way. Ryan
sure
has kids,
would.
So he was like, well, this is news to me, but, it, you know, whatever.
Well, my dad was the one who told me about the birds and the bees.
He was.
Yeah, I remember he was a juvenile diabetic at the time, so he was starting to lose his eyesight, and I would read to him frequently, and he had me read this book. And I had to, it was pre 10 years old because he died when I was 10. Mm. And it was just about a little girl getting her menstrual cycle. And
what
I read
was
it.
That?
I don't know what the name of it was, but I was reading it.
Was that the main focus of the book?
Yeah, but I think it took a while for me to figure out what was happening to me. Like,
was it Carrie by Stephen King?
No.
That's the only book I know of that is an element to the story.
No, it was a kid's book. It was written for a kid, but it took like a couple of pages for me to realize, hey, wait a minute here. I don't want to be reading this book in front of you. And he's like, just finish it. You know, I don't know if your mom's talked to you about it yet, but let's
So he designed this.
So he would tell me what was going on.
So that it'd become a topic between the two of you. That's why he chose that book. Brilliant.
It was pretty good, but I, you
Wendy,
know...
Wendy, hand me that book, Aunt Flo from Kokomo. I want to read you a chapter from that book.
No, I had to read it to
That's
him.
Right, the opposite. Wow.
But I just, I remember that, and then my mom didn't really talk to me about anything.
You didn't have questions that you wanted to say, hey, Dad already brought this up, but you're a woman, I would prefer to hear this from you. That didn't happen at all?
No, I just asked Lenny Campick.
She
was the neighborhood friend of mine who was a year older, and she
had seen things.
I don't know about
that. Block.
I don't know about that, but no. I've asked Lenny pretty much everything.
Yeah,
I learned everything I know today
from her,
from Lenny Campick.
Oh, my dad every once in a while would say, just out of nowhere, "Hey, how about you and I go for a drive?" And I'd always go, "Here it comes. I know what this drive is going to be about."
And so, what was it about?
It was always
sex
talk.
A sex talk.
Well, you're 14. You're 12 now. You're 13 now. You're 14 now. You're 15 now. How's this going? Or what do you think about that? Or have you considered that? You know, there was a lot of that. It was always so awkward. Just so crazily awkward.
Did you clam up, or did you kind of talk to him about it? Did you give him what he wanted?
I didn't. I did that thing that you're supposed to do in a teleconferencing meeting where you don't ask questions, you just get it over with as quickly as you can.
You mean unlike me?
Right. But you know what I mean? It's like, I guess it's part of the parent's duty to do this. Now, for the youngsters listening, this was pre-internet where you couldn't just, if you had a question, like now,
yeah.
If you're a kid with some sort of a question, you could go online and find the answer.
And then ask your parents the real story.
Right.
Because what you're going to see on the internet, dispute a bunch of incorrect information that was found on the internet.
Really?
But I mean, honestly, it's not that awkward talking to my kids about it if they have a question. But I can't imagine having a conversation with my mom or dad like I have with my kids. And you the same way. Or is it still awkward because they're girls?
No, you know, the girls have been, both with Terry and me, incredibly open about
everything.
Pretty much everything. They've not held back. They've asked us questions. They've told us things. Their choices in boyfriends have been really strong for the most part. There was only been one guy that one of them went out with once that I'm like, I don't know about this, but that fizzled.
But you stayed out of it because
I totally stayed out of it.
That's a smart move because if you know, just the rebelliousness of a teenager, if you say I don't like that person, which my mom did to every guy I dated, then it's like you wanted to make
more
it
reason.
Work even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were smart not to say anything.
I think with both my daughters, if either Terry or I were displeased with their choice and we said something, I think it would be a little hurtful to them, but I think they would take into account our feelings and not necessarily dump the guy right then and there, but they would go, wow, there must be something to this. But most of the guys that either of the girls have brought home on a date or have dated for a while, they've really been good guys, so much so that in two of the cases with the guys that they've dated,
you wanted to remain friends with them.
Rethink this.
Yeah.
There's some good qualities there that you don't want to have slip away.
What happened to your two little twin babies that were born when I worked with you last?
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
It's very strange. Getting back to how this all started, when mom and dad said years ago, enjoy it, it goes by quickly. And you go, please, it doesn't go by quickly. It takes forever for things to happen. Nope, as it turns out, everything goes by very, very quickly.
In fact, the first half hour of this show went quickly.
I know.
The birthday girl's coming in. Did you get her anything?
It is Judy Pilek's birthday today, and we knew this.
I'm busy. I had to sit on the porch for 4 hours answering the door for the stupid trick-or-treaters.
I know, but if you sell that to Judy, is that her gift to her? Oh,
she, No. I didn't go shopping for you. She goes, I would have been mad if you got me a gift.
Yeah. She's very thrifty. You can just make something here. You can find some things here in the studio and scotch tape them together and just give them to Judy. She'll think it's special.
All right, I'll work on that during the commercial.
We'll find some elements here in the studio and we'll make her a gift.
Didn't you bring your wood-burning kit in?
Yeah, I got my wood-burning kit in the office. It'll be like, remember on Ray Rayner when he'd show you Chauncey's model and it was spectacular and his model and there was masking tape and glue? And,
yeah.
It was never as good. That's how we'll do it.
It's the thought that counts,
yeah,
which isn't really true.
No, it's the gift that counts.
Totally.
It's not the thought. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I like this. It's Judy Pylak's birthday, and she's actually bringing us something. Little does she know
gives
we don't
and
have
gives
anything
and gives and gives.
For her.
She's a giver.
But she thinks it's her birthday, so she can just walk around.
Yeah.
I don't know who does this, and Jasmine may know, but whenever it's somebody's birthday, they get cookies that correspond to something personal about
right.
you.
Right, right, right.
Jasmine's birthday.
You had those delicious cigarette cookies last year that were so tasty.
Pall Malls?
Yes.
Yes.
CBG?
Boy, were those good.
That is really funny. They should do that. But Jasmine had the cheerleading cookies.
Yeah.
There's always a theme that corresponds.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say something mean, but I couldn't think of one for you. Isn't that funny?
Hey, well, you have a half an hour.
I don't like to be mean to you.
Come on.
His are maybe a slouchy hat.
Yeah.
T-shirt cookies?
That's not mean. That doesn't offend
All
him.
Right. Really bad jokes?
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Well, she's not afraid of being mean, is she?
No, Judy, she owns it.
You asked. I was just trying to...
So, I don't need your
comply.
Help. Thank you.
Okay.
But did you look at the cookie? I know you're not eating sugar, but one of them says, Happy Birthday, Judy, and then like an old cameo because she's into all these.
That's
yeah,
stunning.
It's kind of like shabby chic and vintage and regal.
Those are so
this
nice.
Isn't edible.
No.
An edible cameo.
Of course it's edible.
That's impressive.
It's crazy. Oh, what? It should be edible.
I'm not eating it.
Who takes the cameo off?
That microphone's edible. Go ahead and try it.
What do they taste like? Just cookie-flavored cookies? Or is there more to it?
There's got to be sugar.
They look more like
a shortbread cookie.
Oh, is that right?
But that cameo has to be edible.
Well, you can have it back.
Or is it plastic?
Can you? Now, I know what that means, but most guys might not. Can you explain what cameo is? But I do know what it means. But
most guys have probably bought that for their grandmother at some point.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the
that
brooch.
Silhouette looking thing.
Yeah, the brooch that your grandma wears at her throat.
Right.
Oh, I think. Oh, no, this is edible.
Is it? Take a bite, see what happens.
Mm. Well, Bill brought in some Mod Podge. Maybe he
Yeah, do you want some on trade?
Uh oh. No, it's
is
edible.
Is it not edible?
How gorgeous is that?
You know
now,
what's not edible?
It's got a little bite mark in it.
Do you know at Christmas time when you see those little silver balls that you can put on cookies? They look like metallic.
They are edible. I eat
They're
them all the time.
Not edible.
Stop
yes,
it.
They
yes,
are.
They are.
It says in the package
no,
not edible.
Does. Then you're using the wrong ones. You're using BBs.
Yeah, you're using BB pellets.
The other ones are
you
totally
can spit
edible.
Them out of your mouth later and people you don't like.
They're like they have little colored discs as well, and those are edible.
Those are edible,
and so are these, Bill.
I'm
telling you,
it's the cameo. There it is. It's I watch the baking show all the time. You think I can remember what this is called? It's
mascarpone. that's a cheese.
Everyone uses that.
Yeah, fondant.
Fondant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. You know what a cameo and fondant is.
We know
is.
Who's watching
How about
that show.
That? Yep.
Food Network?
Yep.
Mm, my favorite.
Does Terry have your man card in her purse?
I was never issued one.
She just never gave it to him.
With a rejected stamp on it. Not happy about that.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday.
Are these the Minions or a bunch of froggies from Little Rascals?
It's the Minions.
They're the Minions.
Happy birthday.
Boy, these guys can belt out a tune.
Happy birthday to you.
How do they make little blowhorns that little?
I don't know how they do that.
They're doing that with their own lips.
It is
frogs.
Judy Pylak's birthday, 34. It's okay to say that on the air.
Yes,
34
absolutely.
Years old.
Judy, I'm 58 and I'm proud of it.
You are?
I am.
You look fantastic.
I know, right?
Yes.
I never would have guessed. I thought you were younger than me. I'm 55.
Everyone says that, so I must look pretty
You're doing
good.
Something
Everyone
right.
says you look younger than me.
Younger
A lot of
than
people.
58. You obviously look younger than me, Wendy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be nice on my birthday.
Yep. I'm so jealous of where you're going for your birthday.
Oh, I know.
Dinner.
It's
so
is it called
jealous.
Sabatino's? Yes. I've never been.
One
I've heard
of
I haven't either.
Closing,
and
They're closing
but you
December
know what?
23rd.
Since we
sounded like the Rain Man.
They're definitely closing the restaurant December 23rd. No more people, no more reservations on December 23rd.
Why are they closing?
The family has been doing this for... The family just said, you know, we've done this for years and years and years, and the new generation does not want to inherit it. So they're getting rid of it, but it's one of the best restaurants, and I can't get in.
Yeah, I had no idea how popular... Everyone I say to, I'm going to Sabatino's, either begs me if they can come, and they can't, sorry, because we already have like a table of 12.
Yeah.
Or they go on and on, but... Everyone also says, which is funny, there's like a little disclaimer. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of old school.
It
hasn't been updated in decades.
Needs to apologize.
Oh, right? So good.
But then, because I guess the food's fabulous and the service and
a month ago, Jerry's Jubilee. Oh, get that for dessert. Promise me, you'll love it. They make it at the table. They cook up some cherries.
Is that where they put it on fire?
Yeah, it's so good.
Flambe.
It's so good.
Fondant flambe.
So 5 weeks ago, with friends of ours, we want to go, and they will not take reservations. They go, we're not taking them anymore. We're full. So my wife goes, we want to go one more time. They go, well, if you come in as a walk-in, but get here early, so we definitely get you in. So we get there before, it's like 6:35, 6:40.
They meant 5 o'clock is early.
You got to go early bird special.
Well, they said, we can definitely get you in. We'll get you in between 9:30 and 10. So that's at 6:30. And
so
we all look at each other.
So go have some drinks.
Three hours worth of drinks.
Who wants to eat at 9:30?
Well, then you're never going to go again.
But how are the people getting in when they open the doors at 4?
They made reservations like when they first said we're closing in December.
Okay, so now they're not taking any more. Because I'm like, well, everyone has to wait. But I see they still...
I went last month, actually.
You went on a weeknight, right?
Yep, it was a Wednesday.
Yeah, and how long did you wait, Jess?
It wasn't a long wait at all.
No?
They did take a reservation?
Yeah, they took a reservation, but it was like the reservation was a month and a half previous.
I think they're just not taking a reservation from one Bill Leff.
I think it's me.
Could be.
Wow.
Maybe that's what we put on your cookie.
I'm so jealous.
No reservations.
I want to go one more time before they close, and
I've never been there, and I'm half Italian. I love Italian food.
You should definitely go.
Oh, yeah, everyone says the food is just... I'm really looking forward to it.
There's so much food. It's so good. The presentation, you know, and the fact that... When you walk through, when you first walk in and go to your table, try not thinking of Goodfellas, because it's that, you know, that tracking shot where you meet all the people in the restaurant in Goodfellas? You're living it. You're walking through a scene from Goodfellas.
Great. I can't wait.
That's a good birthday.
And I will sit with my back to the wall.
Oh, you will?
That's what Bill and I did, is we got you reservations at Sabatino's.
Thank you.
That's our present to you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So as I said, since they're not taking reservations, ours is apparently... a little posted on the wall. Rokan show here.
Yep.
It's Thursday.
I can answer a question from part one of the bonus hour. We were talking about those little silver balls that you can put on holiday cookies and whether or not they're edible. I didn't know the name of it. Here's what I Googled. I Googled silver ball cookies edible ? And here's what came up. Several sources. The most reliable being cakecentral.com, which is my homepage. It says, are silver draggies edible? Draggees. Evidently, those are not called silver balls. They're silver draggies. I don't know why. So the question was, are silver balls, silver draggies edible? The first person response says, I thought that silver and gold draggies were not edible. A customer told me that she wants edible silver draggies on her cake and that she will order them and bring them to me. Is there such a thing as edible draggies? Then somebody named Jasmine 32 says...
Our Jasmine.
Uh-oh.
No, this is Jasmine 29. Our Jasmine's Jasmine 29.
Yeah.
I've always ever known them to be edible. Strange English, but okay. As a child, we used to decorate our Christmas cookies with them, and we always ate them, too. They sell them at Kohl's in the cake decorating section. While they may or may not call them draggies, they are hard silver balls. By just doing a quickie Google, many sites said that they are edible silver balls. Now, we used to eat them off the cookies, but then I remember there were warnings on there saying non-edible.
Why would you put anything non-edible
on a cookie?
Edible.
You're getting them confused. There's like Wilton is a big cake decorating company. Yeah. They sell them at Target, and it says right here, Bill, pearl-shaped sprinkles add a sophisticated flair to sweet treats. They add a touch of elegance, and you can eat them.
Can eat them.
Yeah, just... In the old days, maybe they put them on ornaments or something. I don't know.
Maybe they were just drops of mercury back then, and they said, you know, right. you probably shouldn't really eat those.
Right.
But, I mean, I could see years ago putting non-edibles on edibles.
Yeah.
Now it just, no, it wouldn't happen.
I bet we all ate the non-edibles years ago, because I've always eaten these things.
Yeah, but now that would never happen.
Yeah.
The Today Show said that
is it possible that there are two different versions, maybe, right? There's got to be, right?
The silver decorations known as
Draggies?
I don't know how you... D-R-A-G-E-E-S.
Yeah.
Draggy?
Yes.
Draggy?
I don't know why they're called that.
They're sold exclusively for decorating cakes used under conditions which preclude them their consumption as confectionery. They are not considered to be in the category of a food or confectionery. This was on the Today Show last December. But again, you... My God, I've seen them on cookies since I was a fetus.
Really?
Yes.
Is that true? That's impressive.
As her mom was eating one, she goes, look, there goes the draggies. I'm going to get the nutrients from that.
When shopping for edible dessert decor, including glitters and gold leaf, be sure to look for the word edible on the label, as well as a full ingredient list. If it only says non-toxic or for decorative purposes only, then don't eat it.
All right.
So there's probably some knockoffs that are only for decoration.
Please, Jude, when you buy your draggies, make sure you're buying real draggies and none of the knockoffs. I know that you're thrifty and there's nothing wrong with that, but...
Well, it depends what they have at
Goodwill. Pay the extra 24 cents. Get yourself the real thing. But I can't tell you how many of those I ate over the years. Then all of a sudden my mom's like, you're not eating those, are you? Yeah, you put them on a cookie. No, this is non-edible right on the box.
If it's on the cookie, it's meant to be ingested.
Right? Yeah.
Was your mom trying to kill you?
Whose fault is that? Exactly. That's pretty funny that she would say that.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, you ate that poisonous apple?
She'd say that, and then she'd say, oh, by the way, sign these insurance forms. And I go, what are these for? Just sign them. Don't ask questions.
Oh, that's funny.
We were going to talk about television. I want to see if I can stump you.
Okay. Please.
I have been watching New Amsterdam, which is on after This Is Us.
Yeah.
I don't know what channel it's on.
NBC 5.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have the NBC app, so I've been watching. That's what I was watching during trick-or-treaters coming on my porch.
Yeah.
And I was shocked to see a celebrity's name in the credits.
Oh. Who would
that
be?
He's like a co-producer or consulting producer for five particular episodes, but I saw the name and I was like, could it be?
Yeah.
Sean Cassidy?
Yeah, Sean Cassidy is now, he produces TV shows.
He's been doing that for a little while.
Yeah, it's the same Sean Cassidy. Frank Hardy.
Why isn't he singing anymore?
Why isn't he acting anymore? Those who can't act, produce?
I know you said that as a joke, but yes, there's something to that.
And sometimes people just like to produce.
Yeah.
Not everyone wants to be in front of the camera. They like to be behind the
camera.
What
does that mean, to produce?
Well, it means a couple of different things. Sometimes it means you're the one who puts the money up. I'm not sure that Sean Cassidy's putting the money up for this, but you're just kind of the coordinator, the person who does all the hiring and decide which studio gets the show. And, you know, if there's any major decisions to be made, like the guy who's the star of it, maybe they had to run that past Sean Cassidy first before they hired him.
Oh, really? That's the producer?
Yeah, they do. Huh. Depending on if you're the regular producer, the executive producer.
He was the executive producer for several series.
Erie, Indiana? Was that his?
The Agency, Cold Case.
Yeah.
Invasion, Ruby and the Rockets.
Oh, yeah, Invasion.
Blue Bloods.
That's the Tom Selleck show.
No, those sound like just one shows on series, right?
Those were all series.
Because you could be the producer just for like
an episode.
That's what I was trying to get.
You know what? A lot of times with a bigger star, as part of their deal to keep them with a show, they'll let them produce a certain amount of episodes. Like if you see the credits of Better Call Saul, I would say a quarter of the episodes says it's produced by Bob, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was part of his deal, because you get more money. The producers do really well. When a show goes into syndication, they get a cut of that. So above and beyond being the star of a show, a lot of times you'll see the star's name in it and get a co-producer's credit.
So can a producer do everything but not put up the money?
Yeah. Yeah. producer doesn't necessarily, not always put up the money, but go get the money, like
the
find
money.
A source
right. find
to
the
fund the project. Hmm. Yeah. But Sean Cassidy's been producing for years and years and years.
I was blown away when I saw his name, and he spells it unusually. S-H-A-U-N.
Oh,
I've never
yeah.
really seen anybody spell it like that
yeah.
until him.
You know whose name you'll see in the credits very often of This Is Us? Is Ken Olin.
Yes, who wrote 30-something, and that totally...
Starred in 30-something.
I thought he had something to do with it. I thought he had written or directed some of those, too.
Directed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that show reminds me of 30-something.
Yeah, very much so. That's by design, I think.
And then I'm very into... have you watched The Ozarks or Ozark with Justin... Jason Bateman. I always want to put Justine and Justin.
I stopped
but it's not.
Watching it though. I
it's very
I
dark.
Disinterested.
Why?
I don't know. It started to get boring.
It's dark and twisted, and you know,
it's Laura Linney in it.
Yeah, I love her.
She plays his wife in that. Yeah,
she's great
actress.
And it's talk about a dysfunctional family. This is what I binged on after I came back from knee surgery. So I was at a time where I really got depressed watching it. It's depressing.
Yeah.
But. So Jason Bateman had something to do with producing that. And then I saw his name as one of the executive producers on Kidding with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got his hands everywhere now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't even know what these roles are, producing, executive producer.
Well, why would actors, working actors, want to produce something?
Because you get more of the money, like when a show goes into syndication, the producers get a bigger cut.
So it's for the money, you think, not for the creative?
For the prestige of it all?
Well, yeah, because the way you described a producer, which was news to me, it's more of a workhorse. I thought the producer just... Here's the money. I'm the producer behind this.
The producer, like more times than not, is the coordinator of the whole project.
Yeah,
They're the one who goes, we got to hire a director. We got to hire a star. We got to figure out where we're going to shoot this. We got to figure out a budget. So it is a lot of work. But then they trickle that down to people who
right.
when you see the end of a show or a movie and you see
the producer's not doing it, you know, physically. They're
right.
hiring everyone.
They
else
hire
to.
People to
but
do
still,
it.
But still, yeah, and I guess then you're the boss man.
Yeah.
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 Well, what
so
about the director? Or the creator, or the writer.
Well,
see, then it all.
They have a hand in it as well.
But it sounds like the producer owns everything.
They're at the top of the heap pretty much.
Here, how about this theory?
Yes.
Maybe they do, or they do a couple episodes or a series, and they're like, wow, I could do this so much better.
Yeah.
This is so poorly run. And then they decide to do it.
That happens.
Here's according to Slate.com.
Wait, Wendy, before you read this, could you hand me some of those silver draggies? I want to munch on these while
You know what? I'm about to eat them.
Oh,
but
okay.
Here's some mercury ones. Have a couple mercury drops.
I still can't believe those are inedible. What about the asbestos cake my aunt used to make every year at Christmas? Please tell me that was already eaten.
The only people who had the unedible ones were you guys. Everyone else had edibles.
All right.
You probably won't recognize the men or women who pick up the award for Best Picture. The trophy doesn't go to the winning film's director or to its on-screen stars. Rather, it's handed to the producers.
Right.
All right, I didn't really realize that.
Yeah, I had no idea. I have a whole different perception now of what a producer is.
So what does a producer do exactly, according to Slate.com? He or she shepherds the production from start to finish. In a typical arrangement, the producer develops an idea or script with a writer, secures the necessary rights. He often hires the director, supervises casting, and assembles a crew. Then the producer oversees the budget, then coordinates the post-production work, everything from editing to commissioning music to encouraging the film stars to plug the movie on talk shows. So that is like big time.
Right? And it's a lot of work. Even
yeah.
if you're not really doing it, you're glad-handing people, you're making calls, you're
right.
meeting with... I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. But that when they're putting any project together, or almost any project, that's the first person, not who's hired, but they're at the center of that universe.
Well, it sounds like they start it all. They say,
yeah,
hey,
pretty much.
I've got this idea.
Right. You know
the Life and Times of Judy Pilak.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a good example.
How long would that take to get everyone together?
So we need somebody to play Judy. We need somebody who could possibly direct her.
Why don't you do that, Bill?
We need a stunt double for sure.
Right.
She is 58.
Right.
An executive producer often owns the rights to a book or story or secures at least 25% of the film's budget.
Yeah.
That's an executive producer. They rarely have creative or technical involvement. So that's what we're thinking, where they just kind of foot
right.
the bill
okay.
a
and
little
bit.
Okay,
and then they get the producer.
But So watch the credits of most major TV shows, and if it's a show that's been on for a while, you'll notice that the star of the show gets one of those producer credits. But their hand in it is so minimal because they're really just in it
for the money.
I hate to say this,
yeah.
But they're in that for the
money.
So wait,
how many producers do you think there are for, say, like a show like Roseanne?
Well, then there's an associate producer, which is largely an honorary title.
Oh, there's the actor.
All right, so with Roseanne, in Roseanne's case, or now the Connors case, the associate producer is a guy named Sid Youngers. And I know Sid because when I did stand-up, I worked with him a couple of times. Very funny guy. But his job was to coordinate, Sid Youngers' job, even though it was a producer job, was to hire and coordinate the writing staff. So every producer had kind of a different hand in what they did for the show. But because Sid's background was stand-up comedy, you'd send samples to him and go, I'm looking for a writing job, and he'd be the person who'd decide whether
or not. It amazes me how many people it takes to put on one episode of Roseanne.
Yeah.
So my son, he's doing an internship now in L.A., thank goodness, and they're doing a project for that. What's that online IDMB?
IMDb.
Okay.
Internet Movie Data Bill.
So they're doing they want some, I don't know, like 2 minute little shorts for their site to run. And it's this whole kind of, you know, they've got like, they have to do five of them. Say Conlon's job is he's the storyboarder.
Oh.
But that's all he does. It's just so funny to me because I'm like, well, why don't you? Because he's an animator. Nope, all he does.
What is the storyboard? Sorry, I don't know any of this stuff. I just watch stuff.
It's almost like a comic book version of the TV show or short or movie that you're going to see.
I've
seen storyboards for movies, and it's thousands.
Apparently, you always have to have a storyboard. You have to have it drawn out.
Okay, I know what that is.
So you know where the cuts are.
Yes.
So the first picture might be of you, then the next one shows the city, then it's a cut of Judy, you know. So then the director will follow the storyboard to match up the scene.
Okay. It's almost like the visual script.
Yeah.
That's too much work, man.
This is for a two-minute short.
Yeah.
2 minutes. And
But that's still easier than the animation he did, because that, don't you have to have a million of those to make the animation?
Yeah, now they, you know, no one in Hollywood does animation, apparently. They farm
that
computer. All out. Well, no, they farm it out to, you know, Korea or Japan, and those people do it. But, Conlon's like, I don't know if I want to. I'm like, I thought that's what you wanted to do is draw. No, he wants to do the creative part, the visual, but no one actually sits there and hand draws it. Well, someone does, but no one in Hollywood.
When I would go in and read for commercials, if there was sometimes there'd be a storyboard and sometimes there wouldn't be a storyboard. If I looked like the guy in the storyboard, I always got a callback and sometimes the job. If I didn't look like that guy, I never
did. Hilarious.
I knew it. Like, as soon as I walked in, I look at the storyboard, I go, that guy doesn't even look a little bit like me. I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't stand a chance.
Or like, that's a girl. I'm not going to get that part.
I have to take this call. My dog has had his surgery.
All right.
So
do you want to do this on air or not?
No.
No? Better not on air? Okay. For those of you just tuning in, Wendy's dog has been a little bit sickly. She brought it to a veterinarian earlier today, and all through the show, she's been watching her phone with important news on how the dog is doing.
Aww.
So we'll keep you posted. Because it's your birthday, Judy, and I'm a big watcher of the Hallmark Channel, I'm guessing this phone call will end happily.
Yes.
That's
speaking of surgery, and because it's my birthday and I'm 58, maybe I'll get some soon, too.
Are you thinking about some elective surgery?
Yeah.
Is something I can help you with? Is there something I can help you pick out?
I don't think you'll have this in your medicine cabinet, but thanks anyway.
I'm here for you. What about my Auntie Anne-Marie's Mercurochrome cookies? Please tell me those were okay to eat at Christmas time.
Yes, they were.
It wasn't the holidays without the Mercurochrome cookies. Were they tasty?
Well, let me just say this, Bill. You're still alive. So
yeah, something must have been okay.
Yeah, and your immune system's probably pretty
second
darn
to
strong,
none.
Right?
Yeah.
You probably try some mercury, because I think you'll be able to withstand it.
All good things in moderation.
What? Eat a thermometer.
Yeah. One a day. Jude, have a happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Have a safe birthday. Enjoy Sabatino's.
Anything I should get on the menu for you?
No, not on the menu.
I won't be here tomorrow. I would have brought you a doggy bag. Sorry.
No, you have to experience. A doggy bag would be nice. Thank you for that. But you have to be there to experience it. There can be no secondhand
Sabatino.
Do we start
with bread and butter? Because
we'll have bread and butter.
I'm
some crackers.
So good.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We'll come back and we'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy, who's on the phone with some important news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Everything's okay?
Yes. Kona got neutered. There, I said it. It's going to embarrass him, but he no longer will have
those
things.
Yep.
So he's fine. He's just in recovery. I just wanted to take the call, make sure it went okay.
Yes.
All good.
Who can blame you? It's important.
This would
be
sorry.
This would be a dark day for. If this were me, I'd be. This would be a sad day. But
why?
Dogs are very resilient. Well, because why?
Well, you're a human. They're not going to do that to you.
I hope not.
Who's going to do it?
That's why I put barbed wire around my pants. I don't
Thank
want anyone
God.
Sneaking up on me.
That's an interesting barbed wire tattoo.
That's it, everybody. We've done all we can do. And then some.
Tomorrow's Friday, you know.
Tomorrow
I don't want to screw
Friday.
You up with the days of the week.
The end of the week. Write it down somewhere so you can look at your note card.
I never forget a Friday.
Turns out it's Friday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in again tomorrow for more exciting adventures. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.